The title, if I put a title of my message tonight, it is Having the Heart of a Servant. Having the Heart of a Servant. And when Brother Decker announced this morning that there was going to be an ordinance service Wednesday night, my mind went to the role that Jesus took when washing the disciples' feet. What was that role? What was that role? The role of a servant. I want you to think about that. The role of a servant. Here we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the King of all kings, Lord of lords. He's taking on the role of a servant. And so let's turn to John chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. So John chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. So verse 1 says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father." So he knew his time was short here on this earth. He knew that that time has come. "Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father hath given all things into his hands, and he was come from God, and went to God." Verse 4, "He riseth up from supper, he laid aside his garments, he took a towel and girded himself." So in other words, he took that towel, wrapped it around his waist. "And after he poureth water in a basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." And so I want you to think about the setting here. I want you to think about the circumstances that you know, are surrounding this right now. You know, there's a feast of the Passover, or it's before the feast of the Passover. He's together with his disciples. But I want you to think about this. Jesus knew what was about to happen. And so, here he is, I'm sure has a lot on his mind. Now, remember, he has not yet went to the garden to pray. And I think his humanity, I think our humanity would weigh upon us a little bit here. Thinking about the agony that he was going to be going through in the garden, the betrayal that was about to happen, the trial, the beating, the crucifixion, and the ultimate death on the cross. Yet, what did he do? He took time. He took time to be a servant to his disciples, to teach them one last thing. And that was to teach them that his ministry consisted of this. I want you to think about all the things that Jesus did, all the miracles that he worked in that 3 years of his ministry. I want everybody to listen to me. That 3 years of his ministry, what did it really come down to? Serving others, right? I want you to think about that. Serving others. And so, tonight I just want to talk a little bit about what is servanthood? What does it mean to be a servant tonight? And so, if we wanted to define servanthood, it's the state or condition or quality of one who lives as a servant. Now, a servant is first one who is under submission to another. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that part of the definition tonight. A servant is first one who is under submission to another. So what does it mean to submit? That means to yield to the authority of another. So when we become a Christian, who are we submitting our authority, or who? What authority are we submitting to? God's, right? We're submitting to God's authority. We're submitting to God's authority. And this was even Jesus being part of the Godhead. he was submitting unto the authority of God, his Father. Now, when we give our lives to God, we yield the authority to God, or we yield to God's authority. We are not our own, young people. We're not our own. I want you to think about that. We're not our own. When we give our lives to God, again, we're giving our whole being. It's not just our heart, but it's giving our whole being to God. And we submit ourselves to God, and whatever God asks us to do, you know, we should be willing. It's just like when Jesus went to the garden to pray. He actually asked God. He asked his Father, "Father, if you be willing this cup to pass from me, I'd surely be grateful." I'm sure that's probably what he was saying. "I'd surely be grateful. But," what did he say? "Thy will be done," right? "Thy will be done." And so, young people, in our submission to God, how often do we pray and say, "Lord, I'm willing to do," and mean it, "I'm willing to do anything that you want me to do. I'll do your will. Whatever you would have me to do, whatever your Spirit leads me to do, I'm willing to do today." Any of us pray like that? Aren't we to submit to God's authority? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, as we've said before, you know, a lot of times we get set in our routines every day. We go to routines. I think about, you know, within probably 5 minutes of each, I'm leaving the house about 6:15 in the morning, somewhere around 6:15, 6:10 in the morning, I'm leaving the house. I've kind of got a routine. I have a routine. I go to the office, you know, unlock things, this, that, and the other. I've got that routine established. But what if God wants to upset our routine a little bit? What if God says, "Hey, I need you to go text somebody. I need you to call somebody. I need you to encourage someone. Maybe I need you to go visit somebody." Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to do that? Remember, we're to submit unto God, right? We're to submit unto God. But for Christians, it means submission to God first, then submission to one another. And then, as one is in submission, a servant is one who seeks to meet the real needs of others. And so, how willing are we? You know, sometimes we like to take care of ourselves. We get tired. Of course, we've got to rest. But how often do we actually, I know on Sunday afternoons, I kind of enjoy a little bit of a nap. How many other people enjoy a little bit of a nap on Sunday afternoon? What if God asked us to set aside our nap to go visit somebody? How many of us go, "Oh, I'm tired. I can't do this." But remember, what if God asks us to do it? Are we willing to submit unto God? Are we willing to say, "Lord, the flesh is weak, but the Spirit's willing. I'll do whatever you need me to do," right? Need you to do whatever you need. I'll do whatever you need me to do. But again, to seek, to meet, that's what our mission is, young people, is to seek to meet the real needs of others or the person that we are serving. It means willingly giving our oneself to minister. Now, we don't have to be, what are you going to say, titled as a minister to minister unto people. How do we minister unto people? Give me some examples. How do we minister unto people? Well, there's a card going around, right? Isn't that a ministry? How about us sending an encouraging text to somebody? We're sending a text to somebody and say, "Hey, I just want you to know that I love you and we miss you in the services." That's ministering to people, right? Or maybe somebody's down right now and maybe sending them a text saying, hey, I just want you to know I am praying for you. I want to maybe, you know, maybe send them some encouraging thoughts, whatever it might be. Isn't that ministry? How about when we, you know, work here on the acres, work on the grounds? Isn't that ministering? Absolutely. So there are multiple ways, young people, that we can minister. And so, and going along with our thought tonight, it means that we're willingly giving ourselves to minister for and to others and to do whatever it takes to accomplish what is best for another. I want you to think about that. Are we working to accomplish the best for someone else? That's what ministering is, right? That's what servanthood is, right? And God has called each and every one of us in this room to be servants tonight. You know, I think about during political campaigns. And many large corporations promote volunteerism. You know, giving back to the community. And, you know, volunteerism in the local communities. And I think about when our son Tyler worked for the Park National Bank. Every once in a while, they give him the day off to go work on a Habitat for Humanity project. Why? Because Park National Bank is very big on volunteerism. And those are good things. Those are very, very worthy causes. But I want you to think about something. Working in servanthood in the kingdom of God, that's a high calling right there. That is a high calling, and it is something that each and every one of us in this room can do. Whether it's an encouraging word, whether it is something that we can do to be a servant to our fellow man, to our fellow Christian, to our brothers and sisters tonight. And so being a servant is a calling of God. And if we're saved and living for God, we are called to serve others. And so, as servants, what would be some characteristics a servant should possess? Which one, Brother Jacob?
Good quality.
Okay. Having good quality. What else?
Humility.
All right. Being humble. All right. Are we serving others to say, ooh, look what I'm doing. I did this today. I did that today. Oh, I did this. Look at me. Whoopee. No. What is the goal? To build up the kingdom of God, right? To further the cause of Christ. That's what the goal is. It's not to draw attention to ourselves. What would be some other characteristics of a servant? Okay, cheerful. Cheerful. People don't like to be around somebody that's down in the mouth all the time. Besides that, do you think God gets glory? Oh, I've got to peel potatoes today. Oh, 150 pounds. I want you to think about that. Does God want a grumbling servant? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We ought to be, what is that one song? When my king calls for me and says, help me, may he find me in my place. But I was just thinking about, in a cheery way, let me toil each day, helping others lovingly. What did you think about that? Helping others lovingly. What else? Brother Jacob?
Caring for others.
So, having a caring heart. What would be another one, Brother Silas?
Loyalty.
All right? Friendship. With a loyal heart, doing all my part when my king shall call for me, right? Being kind. Being kind. The Bible talks about be ye kind to one another, right? And so those would be some characteristics. I'm sure there's more that we can add to that list. But those are just some characteristics that a servant should have. I want you to think about when Jesus got down before his disciples to wash their feet. I'm sure he did it very caring. He did it with love in his heart. And so when we are called to be servants, you know, we've got to have the love of God in our heart. We've got to have the love of God in our heart. And when serving others, our aim and goal should be bringing glory to God. That should be the ultimate goal, not to bring attention to ourselves. You know, I think about in our teen years, starting with maybe even before 13 years old. I want you to think about this. We begin training as servants. You know, even some 12-year-olds, maybe even some 11-year-olds are working in the dining hall some. Maybe certain meals, maybe not during camp meeting, but it's certain meals that we have during the year. They're working on those. Those are very, very simple tasks, waiting on tables, but we're learning. What are we learning? We're learning to be servants, right? And as we get older, and God starts calling us to certain things, we are called to serve. We are called to serve in whatever capacity God would have us to. And so some things to consider and think on. And one of the things, Sister Lisa is...
I'll say something.
She'll say something. Well, I'll just continue with my message and we'll stop here in just a minute. So anyway, some things to consider and think on. You know, how do we serve? First of all, we're part of a local congregation here, right? How do we serve our local congregation? Not everybody can be singers. Not everybody can be ministers. Not everybody can be chair people. Not everybody can be teachers. But those are some ways. However, what can we do to be servants in our local congregations? So, be active in the services. And I think you are doing a very, very good job being active in the service. Whether it is singing specials, whether it's singing in the choir, again, we appreciate that. It is a blessing to us older folks, us middle-aged people, whatever you want to term us now. But anyway, it's a blessing to see our young people being involved and coming along and serving God and doing those things in the services. So singing, testifying, being active in the youth services. You know, and I also think about, you know, part of the thing is we have a lot of younger young people coming in. We have a lot of 13-year-olds, a lot of 14-year-olds. What is the job of some of us older young people?
To mentor
the younger ones, to set a good example, to reach out to them. Show them the way. The right way, right? So to mentor our younger youth. I think about we've got a work day coming up at the end of May. Think about things that you can do as far as helping out during work day, you know? As you see the younger ones, maybe, you know, the ones that are able to ride bicycles and scooters and all those sorts of things, some of you have transitioned maybe from that stage of life, or maybe should be transitioning from that stage of life and being involved in more of the servant side of things now, right? So think about when we have this work day coming up, what can you do to help? What can you do to help? What can you do to serve your local congregation? Because again, all this cannot be done by just one certain group of people. Can't be. It's impossible. Once you think about camp meetings. And I know that some of you work, but one thing I want you to consider, and this is one thing that, you know, when I sought this position as a teacher, I told the Lord, this is one of the promises that I made. I said, Lord, if I were to get this job, I could work all three camp meetings. And I will work all three camp meetings, except for the one last year where I was called away to Atlanta. But anyway,
not your fault.
Thank you, Brother Jacob. I'm glad you're understanding. But anyway, you know, if you're at all able, I know that Brother Decker talks, you know, many, many times about that list. That workers list is very, very slim in workers. I want you to pray about something. Again, being a servant, you're sacrificing something, right? You're sacrificing something. It might be sacrificing a few days at work in order to be at camp meeting, to help in the camp meeting, to work in the camp meeting. And think about working in the dining hall, working on the grounds. You know, Brother Jeff, I know Brother Jeff Carr gets up early in the morning, fills up the pop machine. He goes around, collects trash around the campgrounds. You know, he's not getting any younger. He might be able to use a helper, but it might require getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning to do that. How many would like to sacrifice a little bit of sleep to help Brother Jeff collect trash in the morning? I'm sure Brother Jeff would appreciate it. Or clean the restrooms, or do some other things around the grounds that might be a little less noticed. Again, remember, we're not here to be noticed. We're here to build up the kingdom of God, right? Or to help on the grounds. Sister Sherry's going to talk about this a little bit more, but it might be mowing. It might be weeding the flower beds. It might be weed whipping. It might be cleaning the vans. But we're going to need help keeping this new youth building clean and tidy. So I want you to think about something. Some of you maybe put your heads together here. How do we do that? Us youth leaders, we're getting old. We're getting tired. We can't clean that youth building all by ourselves. So how do we keep this new youth building clean and tidy? I want you to think about that. Maybe some of you can put your heads together and maybe come up with some ideas of how we can do that. How we can spread that load out a little bit. Okay? Spread that load out a little bit so not just one group of people are doing it, but how can we efficiently do it? And again, not be, what do you say, a burden, you might say, but we might need some that have a burden to do that. All right? So, I think about how we serve our community. We serve our schools. We serve our workplace. And that is, you know, there are a lot of people. There are a lot of people in this world that we come in contact with every day that needs an encouraging word. Maybe needs prayer. Maybe needs, you know, just maybe needs someone to actually just show a little care and concern about them. That's servanthood. That's being a servant. So we don't have a whole lot of time to talk, you know, and say much more about this, but I want you to think about this. We are called to be servants, young people. We're called to be servants. And Jesus showed us the example of getting down on his knees in front of his disciples and washed their feet. And so that doesn't make us any better whatsoever. And we need to be servants as well. We need to be servants and take on that role of being a servant, because that's what God has called us to do. And so, we're going to go ahead and turn it over to Sister Sherry. Sister Sherry's got a couple things to say. Just to pass some things on from Sister Lisa, an idea that she has come to us about. So, she's going to explain a little bit further. So, I'm going to turn it over to Sister Sherry.
As Brother Steve was talking, I thought there's an old saying that in a typical congregation, 90% of the people are more than happy to let 10% do the work. It's kind of human nature. But we talked about last night in our Bible study, laying up treasures where?
In heaven.
Well, how do we do that? Are we, okay, Steve, I checked our bank account. Looks like we got a couple extra hundred, send it to heaven. Is that how that works? Looks at my investment, Steve. It's looking really good. We're going to send 10% of that to heaven. No. It's that servanthood that he talked about. So that's excellent thoughts. Sister Lisa came to us last night, and she was talking about She wondered if some, all, whomever has would be interested in the youth group to take on some projects here on the grounds. Not a, we call a work day and we all come and we work, but something that maybe is becomes your area. Perhaps like you would take one flower bed. We laughed. We said we could put a little sign in there. This flower bed, like, you know, on the highway, you see this highway is kept clean
adopted by.
But then that engenders the pride that Brother Steve said. So maybe we would have to do anonymous, the youth group. You know. But anyway, maybe you'd like to take on a flower bed. Maybe you like to mow. Maybe you like to weed whip. There's a lot of different things that need to be done on a regular basis. And perhaps if they called a work day on Monday night, you work Monday nights, but you're available on Tuesday. So what she was wondering is, if this is something that you'd pray about, and you would just go to her or Brother Rusty right now and start perhaps getting in the work of God, just something small. Some of you may love to do flower beds. Some of you are like, absolutely not. But you know what? I wouldn't mind cleaning out the vans, or I wouldn't mind helping in the dorm or something like that. So that's what she just asked if we would.
And we could also put up here under youth events, maybe this week, Sister Lisa and Brother Rusty need something, you know, in particular done for this week. We could put that up on the board.
Great. And she's not exactly 100% sure. I told her, I said, let's just put it in motion. Let's start working through and we hopefully get a system. But I think you might be more proud if you had one flower bed, for just example, that on a regular basis you keep tidy and maybe you put a new flower in there with permission or whatever, or a new plant, versus you just come and worked all over the whole grounds. There's something about having one small little patch that you can say, hey, that's mine. So, I'll turn it back over to our chairperson.